I was in drama club in high school. And back when I was in drama club, one of my friends in the drama club had the most ironic patch sewed onto the back of her backpack. It read, "No Drama Zone." Well, much like this, today's gospel can feel a little incongruous if you see Jesus as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. As Jesus promises today that not only will there be animosity in our family, but we will actually lose our lives if we follow him. Many people I know who have heard this gospel over the years have responded, well, maybe Jesus has gone too far this time. There was a book on my grandmother's shelf that she referred to often when I was a child called The Power of Positive Thinking. Another person I know now has a theme for her life, positive vibes only. And she says when life gets tough, she just closes her eyes and imagines blue skies. Well, having a positive outlook is not necessarily a bad thing, even in light of this gospel today. I do think it's foolish to believe that the only way to access joy is through positivity. And the gospel is a continuation in what is known as the missionary discourse in the Gospel of Matthew today. And Jesus makes it clear, if you're going to go out in my name, I do not promise happiness. Actually, you can expect the opposite. Challenges, animosity, fighting. Jesus is promising, however, joy in the midst of a storm. And Jesus assures us if we are going to follow him, really follow him, we can't avoid the storms that will come our way. Jesus knew that his message of love and inclusion and justice would not land well with the powers that be. They did not. They sent him to a cross. Following Jesus in the first century meant the breakup of families and persecution and strife. Something similar could be said for today. As Cleophas LaRue writes this week, some divisions come as a result of family members who refuse to own Jesus as Lord in any sense of the word. Some come because other members hear Jesus' words differently and thus march to the beat of a different drummer. Sometimes young people clash with their parents on matters of faith when their generation sees things differently than their parents. Kindness to strangers, duty and responsibility to others, the fair and just treatment of God's people, a healthy concern for the environment, or a more progressive understanding on issues of human sexuality. Trying to heed the commands of Christ and live faithfully around these issues often causes tensions and uncertainties among loved ones. End quote. If we are intent on following Jesus, the reality is that we are dedicated to dying to old ways, to former selves, to all of the notions to which we cling in order that we might be a partner with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the coming of God's kingdom. Following Jesus does not manifest our own will, but it does give us a glimpse into the heart of God's will. This is about nothing less than giving up your life for the sake of something bigger than yourself. So many of you know my husband and I, some of you have been there and seen it, our life in Los Angeles with our children before moving here to Ohio. And my husband and I read the profile for Calvary's rector position. And we both received what I can confidently call the consolation and urging of the Holy Spirit. I remember talking to my spiritual director about how odd it was to be called away from such stability in our life, in our positions, to much of what was unknown in Ohio. But my husband and I had a strong call to move to Cincinnati and to Calvary. My spiritual director also pointed out that this move would honor our family. We would go from being 2,000 miles away from my parents and my sister's family to just being a short 70 to 80 mile drive from each of them. So we came to believe that our move here on many levels was nothing short of following Jesus. We still believe it today. In the California Pacific Conference of the United Methodist Church, of which my husband is a part, that conference was by and large open and affirming of LGBTQ persons and the community and the ordination of LGBTQ persons. And we knew moving here that the culture was very different in the United Methodist Church in Southwest Ohio. And some of you know it was not easy for my husband to change conferences. Joining a new conference meant re-earning credibility, taking a starting position in a smaller congregation than the one he had been serving. And my husband, coming from a conference that was so openly affirming of the LGBTQ community, it meant coming into conflict with many of the United Methodists in West Ohio, just coming from where we came. And after we moved here, my father's health started to decline. We knew something was off when he could no longer pay the household bills anymore. And we knew something was dramatically wrong when, on a hike in the woods with my children, he and Amelia, who was 3 years old at the time, went down the wrong path and got lost in the woods. It took a park ranger to find them after over an hour of frantic search. So just last week, my father was able to get a month's-long wait to see a neuropsychologist. And at this point, he has been diagnosed with mid to late stage Alzheimer's disease. And as fate would have it, my father's brother was also diagnosed with dementia last spring. So this coming week, I'm going to be out of the office. I'm moving my uncle into an assisted living facility. Our family is simultaneously continuing to explore the best care for my father as his Alzheimer's progresses. And so the skies have not been 100% blue for our family since we've moved to Southern Ohio. But I will tell you, today's gospel comes as a great hope this morning. Our positive vibes only culture makes it seem as though the world will fall apart if the sky is not blue and if happiness is not abounding. Jesus assures us today that storms will come, conflicts will ensue, and that the skies not only will sometimes be gray, they will sometimes be black, and the winds will roar around us. And we need not be afraid. Now, Jesus, in giving us this hope, does not promise happiness. But I believe instead in abounding joy. A hope in spite of struggle and in spite of loss. When we moved here, I watched with deep admiration as my husband willingly died to an old version of himself in his career in Southern California. He trusted in following Jesus into whatever this call was as our whole family in Southern Ohio. It reminds me of a quote by Henry Nouwen in his book, Life of the Beloved. And Nouwen writes, quote, "Am I afraid to die? I am, every time I let myself be seduced by the noisy voices in my world telling me that my little life is all that I have and advising me to cling to it with all my might. But when I let these voices move to the background of my life and listen to that small, soft voice calling me the beloved, I know there is nothing to fear and that dying is the greatest act of love. And the act leads me into the eternal embrace of my God, whose love is everlasting. End quote. So, you all know about the Methodist Church up the street, just a half a mile from Calvary. Clifton United Methodist Church is the only United Methodist Church in the greater Cincinnati area that is openly affirming of LGBTQ persons and is called a reconciling congregation. So my husband has been appointed the lead pastor there since the beginning of the year. And in a denomination that is in the midst of a great storm around the debate about human sexuality, my husband has had the opportunity to follow Jesus and lead in the midst of this. For us, it has been great joy and hope in the midst of a real and raging storm. People who've been, their congregations have left and joined the Global Methodist Church. The people who remain, who don't have a home, are packing the pews down the street at Clifton United Methodist Church. Joy and hope in the midst of a real and raging storm. And last week, as we received my father's Alzheimer's diagnosis, the black clouds of sadness at the reality of my father's inevitable demise to this terrible disease gathered. I also had an inkling it was true, but it was confirmed last week to me that he does not, in fact, remember my name. And sometimes he doesn't know who I am. But this incredible thing happened as I sat and chatted with him that afternoon, we found out. While we processed the diagnosis of his late stage disease all together as a family, he was mostly oblivious to this news. And instead he was chattering away in the living room, sharing memories from several decades ago. And he sat with a big smile on his face and said to me, "Do you remember when that little baby came home?" He was talking about me. And I got to be present, not 2,000 miles away, to hear what he had to say about this little baby. Wasn't she something else? Joy in the midst of the storm. So do not be afraid. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Amen.